Let's all read responsively a portion of scripture from Amos chapter 8, verses 1 to 14. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 to 14. You may read from the screen or from your personal Bible. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 to 14. And I shall begin. Verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruits. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I'll never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts in the mourning, and all your songs in the lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Together they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall, and never rise up again. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let's pray. O God, teach us to trust in your word, that we may receive your approval and the blessed fellowship of the triune God. Father of wisdom and truth, instruct us in the deep things of God. Lead us on from faith to faith in an ever closer walk with you, and keep us steadfast in our Christian life. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amos the prophet had three visions in chapter 7. God had promised that he would judge Israel for its sins. And these three visions depicted the nature and extent of that judgment. In particular, we looked at the vision of the plumb line. We looked at the vision of the plumb line. By the way, how does Heritage Baptist Church fare against our spiritual plumb line? The Bible. At this point in the book, Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, tried to intimidate Amos in order to get him to stop prophesying judgment at Bethel. Amos responded to Amaziah by defending his prophetic ministry and by proclaiming judgment against Amaziah. We saw all these last week. Amos then had his next vision in chapter 8. Amos envisioned a basket of summer fruit. chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord declared to Amos that the end had come to his people and that he would no longer pass by them with dispensing judgment. Chapter 8, verse 2. See the same phrase in chapter 7, verse 8. The Lord used a pun, since in chapter 8, verse 2, the Hebrew words for summer and end sound similar. The Hebrew word for summer is kayetz. The Hebrew word for end is kates. In that day of judgment, that is the day of the Lord mentioned in chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, in that day of judgment, temple songs would turn into mourning, chapter 8, verse 3. Corpses would lie everywhere, and people would silently cast them out to be burned so as not to attract the Lord's attention. Also see again, chapter 6, verse 10. As awful as the judgment would be, the rich of Israel would deserve every nit of it. They had mistreated the poor in numerous ways, chapter 8, verse 4. Also see again, chapter 2, verses 6 to 7a, and chapter 5, verse 11. The wealthy could hardly wait for the completion of the monthly new moon festivals and the weekly Sabbaths so they could make their profits in the grain markets, chapter 8, verse 5. They swindled the poor by rigging their containers and balances. And ephah was supposed to equal 0.65 bushels. When the merchants made their ephahs small, their customers received less grain than they had bargained for. The common shekel was supposed to weigh about 11.4 grams. One shekel equals 11.4 grams. 8 shekels equals 91.2 grams. When the merchants made their weight stones in the balance large, they took more silver from customers. When the merchants made their weight stones in the balance large, they took more silver from customers. Their first secret to success: less grain for more money. Also, they sold poorer wheat, quality wheat, and charged exorbitant interest on loans, chapter 8, verse 6. As a result, the poor could not make their loan payments, and the rich sold them into slavery in exchange for silver and property. Also, see again, chapter 2, verse 6. Their second and third secrets to success were to sell cheap products and charge high interest. The Lord would not forget their deeds, chapter 8, verse 7. But he would judge the land of Israel, verse 8. Amos pictured the land as trembling and mourning at the Lord's conduct. Also see again, chapter 1, verse 2. The land rose and sank, cast out in verse 8. The land rose and sank like the Nile of Egypt, which annually ran over its banks. After experiencing God's judgment, the people would mourn, chapter 8, verse 10. Amos, chapter 8, verses 8 to 9, probably looked beyond the Assyrian destruction of Israel to the still future days of the tribulation. Then the earth will experience earthquakes, verse 8, and cosmic disturbances, verse 9. These judgments appear in other passages, such as Joel chapter 2, verses 30 to 31, Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17, and chapter 8, verses 12 to 13. God would smite the land with a famine and drought worse than those of chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. God would send a famine of the word of God, chapter 8, verse 11. People in Amos' day rejected the word of the Lord, but in judgment they will wander from the Mediterranean Sea in the west to the Dead Sea in the southeast, searching for a message from God. Verse 12. They will go from the east to the north, thirsting for the Lord's words. In that day, those who will otherwise be full of life and energy, virgins and young men, would faint, since God would remain silent. Verse 13. Those who once had sealed their oaths by the idols of Samaria, Dan and Beersheba would fall, never to rise again. Verse 14. No false god anywhere in Israel or Judah, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, could rescue them from destruction. And what follows? I would like to focus on verses 11 to 13. Again, this passage reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst." The prophet has warned of famine and drought in Amos chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Now, however, we see another kind of famine. It is not a famine where there is a lack of food or water. It is a famine of God's word when God will no longer speak to his people. The scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that when there is no word from God through his prophets, the people perish spiritually. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The book of Lamentations speaks about the time when God's prophets are weary. There's no law of the land and there's no word from God. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 9. In the days of Samuel, the word of the Lord was very rare. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. So there have been times when God has refused to speak in visions for periods of time. But now this horrible prophecy in verses 11 to 13 was that God would stop speaking altogether to Israel. How important these verses are for us today. Many weaken the message of God's written word, the Bible. Others seek to subtract from the completed canon. As a result, we are seeing the beginnings of a modern-day famine of God's word. Let us first look at those who weaken the message of God's written word. Roman numeral 1, the liberals. The liberals. A new pastor came to a certain church. He was full of sophisticated knowledge and taught little from the Bible. At the end of 2 years, he was told one of the leading men of his church was ill. He went to see him. There was no chance of recovery. The man was dying. After a little talk, the pastor said, "Shall I read to you and pray with you?" "Yes," replied the man, and beckoned to his wife to bring a Bible. A Bible was brought, and the pastor opened it and saw a strange sight. Some books were taken out of it. Some pages were torn away. Some chapters gone, and some verses cut out. It was a shamefully mangled Bible. The pastor said, "Have you not a better Bible than this?" The dying man said, "When you came to our church, I had a whole Bible. But as soon as you told me that one book was fiction, I tore it out. And that one chapter was not true. I removed it. And that some verses were unauthentic, I cut them out. And if I had another year under you, I think I should have had the two covers and nothing else." Folks, that is liberalism. Liberalism was fundamentally at its very base to reject everything in Scripture which one considered unreasonable. In liberalism, Scripture was subjected to reason, and supernatural miracles had to give way to our own naturalistic explanations of them, of how they happened. Inspiration was redefined. Instead of it being that God had breathed out certain truths through men whom he inspired, inspiration was understood as the humanly produced Bible's power to inspire religious experience. Charles Spurgeon described liberals as those who make light of Christ's atonement, those who deny plenary inspiration, who call the fall a fable, who deny the personality of the Holy Ghost, who call justification by faith immoral, and hold that there is another probation after death and a future restitution for the lost. During the Reformation days, there had been an emphasis on the historical and on the literal and plain meaning of the text. But all of a sudden, liberalism came along and said, the supernatural has to go. We no longer take the explanations of Scripture itself at face value. We go below, we dig deeper, and we see that this was simply a way of speaking back then. And we ourselves can get beyond what's going on here. We can evaluate it. We can explain it. And we can abandon it as we see fit. There are those who weaken the message of God's written word, the liberals. There are also those who seek to directly subtract from the completed canon. Roman numeral 2, the textual critics. The textual critics. Over the centuries, two fairly distinct lineages of the Greek New Testament have developed. Those two textual lineages are, letter A, the Textus Receptus. The Textus Receptus. The other is letter B, the critical text. The critical text. This is the Greek text underlying the Nestle-Aland text and the UBS Greek text. It was basically developed in the latter part of the 19th century by Westcott and Hort. The modern critical text is based primarily upon two old manuscripts which originated in Alexandria, Egypt. One known as Vaticanus was located in the Vatican Library in the mid-19th century. The others, known as Sinaiticus, was found in the Greek Orthodox Monastery at the foot of Mount Sinai. The chief, and by far most widely distributed translation of the Textus Receptus is the King James Version. The modern critical text has literally scores of English versions based thereon. Notably, popular translations such as the NIV, the NASB, the CEV, NRSV, ESV, and a host of lesser-known versions. When comparing the Textus Receptus to the modern critical text, as will be seen, the modern critical text has a definitive pattern of deleting words altogether. Of course, this is manifested in the various modern translations based on the critical text. Jack Moorman, in his book 8,000 Differences Between the NT Greek Words of the King James Bible and Modern Versions, says that the modern critical text has deleted approximately 2,800 words. Number one, some of the deletions are doctrinally significant. Some of the deletions are doctrinally significant. For example, Textus Receptus reading, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, KJV, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Critical text reading, omitted outright. Textus Receptus reading, Mark chapter 9, verse 44, KJV, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Critical text reading, omitted outright. Textus Receptus reading, Mark chapter 9, verse 46, KJV, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Critical text reading, omitted outright. Textus Receptus reading, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, KJV, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Critical text reading, the remainder of the verse after the word record is omitted. But that is not all. Number two, some of the deletions diminish Jesus as the Son of God. Some of the deletions diminish Jesus as the Son of God. Henceforth, readings from the Textus Receptus will be taken from the King James Version, and readings from the critical text will be taken from the English Standard Version, which exemplifies most modern versions based on the critical text. Some of the deletions diminish Jesus as the Son of God. For example, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, KJV, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, ESV, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." From who? Notice that the critical text translation has omitted the phrase of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a diminishing of Jesus as the Son of God. Number three, some of the deletions degrade Jesus as Lord. Some of the deletions degrade Jesus as Lord. For example, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, KJV, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Luke chapter 22, verse 31, ESV, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demand to have you." Notice that the critical text version omits reference to Jesus as Lord. Number four, some of the deletions disconnect Jesus as Christ. Some of the deletions disconnect Jesus as Christ. For example, John chapter 4, verse 42, KJV, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4, verse 42, ESV, they said unto the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. The context clearly is of Jesus and the woman at the well of Samaria. The Samaritans were referring to Jesus as the context makes clear. Notice, however, that reference to Jesus being the Christ is omitted in the critical text. Are these not Satan undermining God's written word? Just as he has undermined God's words by tempting Eve with, Yea, hath God said? Yet the proponents of the critical text exalt their text as the most accurate, authentic, and trustworthy. The liberals and the textual critics are not the beginnings of a famine of God's word reflected in Christendom today due to the teachings of these people. As we hear these liberals and textual critics, as we hear these modern-day false prophets, let us remember the warning of King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When there is no word from God through his prophets, the people perish spiritually. In the current context, if there is a famine of God's written word, the result is spiritual perishing and death. Our Lord Jesus, and head of Heritage Baptist Church, your word repeatedly warns of false prophets during the last days. Lord, we need your wisdom to recognize the true from the false. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Grant us spiritual discernment that we be not deceived. Father in heaven, defend your children from the snares of the evil one. For we know that Satan himself comes as an angel of light, and his servants are also transformed into ministers of righteousness. Lord, keep us vigilant, always on guard against false prophets and false teachers. Keep us faithful, always ready to expose error without fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Eyes closed, and nobody looking around, nobody moving around. Let us ask the Lord to grant us spiritual eyesight and discernment to see the true from the false, that we may not be deceived. Let us ask the Lord to help us cherish the message of God's completed written word. Let's continue to bow our heads in prayer.